Happy Sabbath to every one of us. When I received this phone call from Paul saying that for me to preach here, in fact I was not thinking about preaching, because with my family I wanted to come just to visit. And I did say I want to come and sit and listen, because so many times I do go to churches, they say, "Pastor, you preach." And this time I wanted to have somebody to preach to me. But anyway, I'm very happy to be with you, and we enjoy the fellowship here in this church. And Lynette, gave me and sent me an email and asking me to have an insert to be put in the newspaper. So I said, "Be patient with me," and so I did that. I sent that, and then I said that the title of my sermon will be Daniel 2. And I did say to her, "Be patient. Don't rush too much in thinking that we are going to use an old study again and again, because I'm running out of subject." No, what we are going to do today, we are going to use this prophecy, but in the new setting. Happy with that? Very good. A few weeks ago, and as you can see, I like to use the whiteboard. And I'm going to put a few things on the board for us. A few weeks ago, probably a month ago, we have a chaplain at the White House by the name of Barry Black. You have heard about him. So he was walking in the hall there when he met with a senator. And the senator said to him, "Pastor, what do you think will happen? Because we are having this melting thing in the Europe. The euro is going downhill. What do you think will happen? Do you have an answer for us?" And he said, "Yes, I've got an answer." "Oh, please, tell me. And then Barry Black said, "Well, don't have time right now. But if you want to meet with some friends in the hall, I can go and come and explain to you what will happen." So he was so excited that he started talking to all the other senators. And instead of going into a small room, Barry Black was called into a big room, and he was surprised to have so many senators there wanting to know what will happen after. And Pastor Black said, "Well, I have been approached to and I've been asked to tell what I think will happen very soon." And what do you think? He opened his Bible. What was the theme of his study? Daniel 2. So those senators, they don't know, but we know. And therefore I think that we have to take advantage of that and understanding where we are now, where we are going. My task is, as I've said, to take something that we used to hear. We have been preaching about that. We give Bible studies about on Daniel 2. And usually when we do Bible studies, we have inspiration of the Bible. And then the second one is Daniel 2. The third is the return of Christ, correct? So it is well ingrained in us, in our vein, in our DNA. Seventh-day Adventist. But so many times we talk about only those different kingdoms. As soon as we open Daniel 2, we draw attention to ourselves or to people about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Okay? We know that by heart. We can even give the dates, and people are, "Wow, those people, they know a lot of about Daniel, about the history." I would like to draw your attention on the context, because I don't think that God just gave this prophecy out of nowhere. In fact, how many visions... Those are the questions I start to talk, asking. Eh? How many visions do we have in Daniel? Hmm? How many visions do we have in Daniel? There are four visions. And because there are four visions, we have to understand why those four visions. And what happened before God gave this vision? Is it out of the blue? Is it only for God's pleasure? Okay, I'm going to give a vision to Daniel, to Nebuchadnezzar, or a vision to Daniel. Is this the case? No. We need to understand that there's a context, a reason before God gave this vision. And for us to understand that, we have to understand that the context is, remember that we have the people of Israel are in exile. Okay? Where are they in exile? In Babylon. And we call that the exilic time, and before that we call that pre-exilic. Clear? And if they are in Babylon, where were they before coming to Babylon? I hear that, but hey, it's not Sabbath, it's Sabbath school also today. You can talk. Okay? Where were they before coming to Babylon? Jerusalem. Very good. What is there so special with Jerusalem? Yes, we call that temple. And for the Jews, how many temples do they have? How many churches do we have? Plenty. How many temples we have for the Jews? Only one. And what happened to the Jews in Australia? Where do they go? In synagogues. I don't have much time to explain the difference between temple and synagogues, but just one quick word is there can't be more than one temple for them. And the synagogues were because of that. Because they came, Babylon, and invaded Jerusalem, and they destroyed Jerusalem in what year? Because you are so good in prophecy. Come on, Monique. Could be 70, yes. Okay, very good. So, be started if you want, yes. So therefore, yes, okay. Sorry. Thank you for reminding me about that. And so, what is happening here? Jerusalem is under siege and Jerusalem is destroyed. And when we talk about Jerusalem, it is not the city of Jerusalem, it is the temple. The temple for the Jews is very important. It is like our flag. Because this is a symbol of the nation. And why do you think that Al-Qaeda will burn the American flag? What is the reason for that? As a reaction against America. They can't touch Americans, so they burn their flag. So, therefore, our national anthem, our flag, is which makes the country special. And for the Jews, it is the temple that makes the people special. They are no more in Jerusalem. They are in Babylon. Not all of them. Most of them are here. And we have, among them, Daniel and the companions. Okay? Three of them, yes. But were they only four princes? There were more than that. But why the Bible talk about four? Because those were the faithful ones. And remember, God is not interested so much in the unfaithful. He's more interested in the faithful one. Why do you think that we have this vision? Daniel 2. Why? Why do you think that God would give this vision to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Very good. Let's try another answer, which is good, but another answer. Yes, brother.
Nebuchadnezzar was thinking his kingdom is going to last forever.
Okay. Okay. We'll read that. That's a very good answer. Yes, brother. Okay. That's another good answer. Is there another answer? Yes, brother. God, all God, yes. Yes. Very good. Yes, God is in control. Okay. Yes, is there any answer, another answer? Yes, sister. Could be. Yes, he will. Another answer? I'm a bad teacher. Because until I receive a good answer, I will not stop asking questions. Yes, Peter.
I think he's trying to bring in the fact that in the end, God will set up an
empire. Very good. Very good. Another try. Okay. Yes, we are answering what we usually answer. But I want to have something else. Why do you think that God would give to Nebuchadnezzar a vision and ask Daniel to interpret that vision? Why? Yes. That's very good. Yes, thank you so much. Remember, that's why I put this little diagram on the board for you. What is happening here? They are no more in Jerusalem. They are in Babylon. The people of Israel is in Babylon now. They are in exile. So, why would God give that vision? Yes. Ah, you see, we can't contest with our wife. Okay. We have to accept God.
God is telling us to come out of it.
Now. But at that time. Okay. It will be important for what you are saying afterwards. Because what we are going to do is to have a practical application. What Daniel 2 has for us today. That's what we are doing. Yes, sister.
Maybe you're looking for a question in the Daniel
2. No. I'm not looking at that. by the way, I think that lunch is ready, so you don't have to worry about it. I'm trying to dig something logical here. Okay, okay. So the
kingdom is to representative of God's temple in Jerusalem.
Okay, okay. God is giving to Nebuchadnezzar this vision, correct? Is it for Nebuchadnezzar initially? No. For whom? We are not there yet. But for the people of who are being uprooted from here to here. So, which means that the people were asking a question. When are we going back? Clear? The second thing is that the people have a concern and a need, because for them, if they don't go back, what will happen to them? Forgotten. Yes. Which means that they lose their identity, and if they lose their identity, they are completely washed out, and they disappear from the surface of the world. And they are asking this question based on the promise made. So, remember that the people of Israel is longing to have an answer. The important part of the Daniel 2 is based on the question but the people are asking. Not Nebuchadnezzar, we'll see that later on. But mainly because of the people of God. And already I can draw a conclusion here. I'm not finishing with my sermon, but immediately I can bring a conclusion for us. Whenever we are asking a question, God is ready to give us an answer. Clear? I'm not going to analyze those four visions today. We don't have time. We are going to focus on only one vision, which is Daniel 2, and we have seen that out of a question, of a query, of a need of the people, and they are crying to the Lord. And today we have in Revelation the same question asking, for how long, Lord? And for us, Seventh-day Adventists, when we see a tsunami, the melting of the euro, we are asking the question, or probably we are not asking any question anymore. We are just making a statement. He is coming. Very soon. Okay? So let us bear that in mind. Let us bear this context in mind to understand Daniel 2. And we have said that Daniel, with his companions, with the people who are in exile, are all asking that same question. If the question is not answered, they are walking towards the doom. They are finishing. And therefore, God, in chapter 2, we are going to see seven, we have talked about one question here. And God, in chapter 7, we are going to, in chapter 2, we are going to see seven questions. And when we come close, you know that my sermon will be finished, correct? There are seven questions in Daniel 2. And there are seven answers in Daniel 2. So let's start. The first question, where do we find that? Chapter 2 and verse 37. I made a little mistake here, and that's why we are human. Verse 29. This is the first question that we have. This is not the first verse of Daniel 2. It is verse 29, where it says, O king, as you were lying there, you thought about things to come. God, who can tell people about secret things, showed you what is going to happen. Somebody mentioned that. Okay? What is the first question that we have in Daniel 2? Is a question asked by the king. And remember that he is the king of the universe at the time. There is one empire, Babylon. And he was asking, what next? The same question that those senators in White House was asking. What next? What will happen next? So based on his question and based on God's people's question, there will be an answer. So the first question comes from the king. What is the answer? 29. What is the answer that God will give? The dream. Okay? So, which means that we have here a... Here, the first question is from the people. Okay? From the people. What is happening? people. And what is the answer that God will give? In verse 37 is the answer that God will give. And verse 37 says, O king, you are the greatest king. God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength and glory. Whenever people, wild animals and birds live, God made you ruler over them. King Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold on that statue. What is the, it's not the dream, is the answer from God to the people. What is in the dialogue between Daniel and the king, what is the answer that God is giving to his people? Somebody gave that to me. God is in control. And the verse is clear in saying that it is God who has established you. And if God has established a king, he can remove also king. Clear? So therefore, the ultimate one who is controlling everything is God, not... this is the answer. Okay? And these are questions. So, therefore, God is saying, I am in control. And if we ask the same question, Lord, what is happening in this world? We have the answer. God is in control. God is in control of my life. God is in control of my family. God is in control of my church. Not my church, God's church. God is in control of my society where I'm living. God is in control of this country. God is in control of the world. So that's the first answer that we have from Daniel chapter 2. The second question is the king. What will happen to me? What is happening? What can I do? How can I expand more? But there is no more place to expand. Because he is covering the whole world known at that time. And therefore, the answer comes that the Lord says, no, Nebuchadnezzar, you are not to be king forever. So there will be another one. And so on and so forth. Okay? Very good. Now we have another question in chapter 2, verse... He has had this vision. What will Nebuchadnezzar do? And we have again the king asking a question. To whom? To whom this time is he asking a question in a sequence of story? What is the question that the king is asking now? To whom? To? To the wise men. To the astrologers. And why would he turn to those wise men? He asked the question to the wise. Why is he asking the question to the wise men and the astrologers? Why? Okay, yes. They are paid by the king. And they are paid for a good reason. So that the king will have, those are the advisors of the king. Okay? Can I go to war? Yes? No? Okay. So therefore, he asked a question to the wise. And what will those wise men say? You know the story. That's why I am going a bit fast now. What is the answer? The answer that we will have. There is no one in this world, or probably it is good to read that. Verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. It says, the wise men answered the king, saying, no one on earth can do what the king asks. No great and powerful king has ever asked the fortune tellers, magicians or wise men to do this. The king is asking something that is too hard. Only the gods could tell the king this. But the gods do not live among people. So which means that those people here, those who can read the future, those wise men, astrologers, who have always given counsel to the king, are seeing that this is something very difficult. Why? Because the king is not telling them what he dreamt about, but the king is asking, what has he dreamt about? Now let me ask you another question. Don't you think that they have tried to tell him about a dream? Let's say for example Nebuchadnezzar, and we know the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's say for example Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the wise man says, you know king, you were sitting on your throne and you saw another people coming to destroy you. That's what you saw. What do you think would be the answer of the king? Ha ha. That's not true. I don't recall that. So which means that they have to be very careful in the answer. Either they know or they don't know. But what was God doing in letting the king have the vision and the astrologers coming to answer the king? What was God doing? What was the intention of God? Amen. Don't trust those who read the future. Does that apply to us? They're clairvoyants, that's right. Don't trust them. They don't have power. And why do you think that God would give a vision and will hold this vision? There is a reason for that. Okay, first of all, for the king to follow the normal protocol, calling the wise men, and then, somebody gave me this answer, to bring Daniel, his faithful servant, to the kingdom. You got the point? And probably Daniel would have never thought that he would have been there. He ate at the table of the king, but never be at that level of counselor. Why? Why do we say that? Because he was under the command of, not the king, of our jobs. Okay? So which means that he was not a slave, but he was like a slave. He was in exile. So he was free, but not completely free. And therefore God is telling Daniel, don't worry, he's telling the king, your people can't do anything. My faithful people will do something. Friends, how can we apply that in our world today? So many times we may think, so what? People don't believe in us. We are a small minority. But friends, God has chosen this church. And at its proper time, this church, those members that we are, have to give things to this world. But unfortunately, we have the knowledge, but so many times we hide this knowledge. And that's why we have to be careful. Are we the faithful ones? Or are we in church but not being the faithful one? Last month, the former general conference president, the former one, what's his name? John Paulson, had something very interesting from his own country, from the King of Norway. What was that? You have not read that somewhere? You don't have this information? The king of Norway himself has given a title, a special title to John Paulson. How do you call it? Medaille. A medal. A special medal in recognition of what a Norwegian has done to put Norway on the map. And this war is the highest rank of recognition in Norway. And this is not given to anyone, it is given to only a Norwegian or a non-Norwegian, but who has contributed to put Norway on the map. And who was Jan Paulsen? He's a Norwegian, and he was the General Conference President. Now, can you see, the date has not been set yet, and can you understand what is happening around the world? A Seventh-day Adventist pastor who has made a contribution to the world. Was he looking for that? Has he done anything to for that? No. And you know about many others who have brought attention to our media. Lady Chamberlain has had a problem in this country. And many, many people were shooting the Seventh Adventist Church. But right now, it's starting again. I don't know. But anyway, what we are talking is the practical application of Daniel 2. Daniel 2 is not only to know Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, etc. But there are some reasons. And then we have another question. Now, this question comes from Daniel. It is implied, okay? In Daniel chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 is a question that Daniel will ask. 14 and 15. Arioch, the commander of the king's guards, was going to kill the wise men of Babylon. But Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and skill, saying, why? Is there a question? Why did the king order such a terrible punishment? Yes. And that's why he is very polite in asking that question. So, the question comes from Daniel, chapter 2, 14 and 15. Is he wanting an answer? Yes. Does he have an answer? Yes. Arioch will explain something that Daniel did not know. The king has called a wise man and has asked that such a question. So therefore, Arioch is giving an answer to Daniel in regard to the dream, the request of the king that has not been met. And then Daniel will say, hold on, tell the king, don't execute this order, because I have good news for him. What is the next question that we have in the Bible is in regard to Daniel himself. And so many times our church knows about things, but they don't practice that. In Daniel, what will be the question of Daniel? Pardon me? Yes, this is not a question, it is a statement, okay? But what is the question that he will ask? To whom will he ask this question? To God himself. That's where he went in his house with his three companions and he said, let us talk to God. Let us pray. Let us ask God, because we don't know. We are facing a dilemma here. We don't know. So therefore, in verse 18, Daniel talked to the companions, and he said, Daniel asked his friends to pray that the God of heaven would show them mercy and help them understand this secret, so he and his friends would not be killed with the order of the wise men of Babylon. For how long have they been praying? Have a prayer meeting of 30 minutes. Bang, finish. The whole night. Why? Why God will wait for a whole night, people to talk to him for a whole night? If he has revealed to Nebuchadnezzar a answer that the people were asking, and a question that the Nebuchadnezzar himself was asking, why taking so much time? Why they had to pray for a whole night? Exactly. It is not a come in, go out. It's that relationship. And in fact, my friends, I will probably shock you if I tell you that it is not what is most important in this chapter. It is not those different methods. I'm still Seventh-day Adventist. How can I dare say that? Because we use that all the time. I've never said it is not important, but I've said it is not the most important in that revelation. Not important, most important. What is the focal point? What is the most important part in Daniel 2? If you understand this context, you will understand what's going on here. And that is the most important part. During the night, verse 19, during the night, God, in some version it says, God revealed. In my version it says, God explained the secret to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel did something very important. He praised the Lord. And can you see all those words, I would say words in those sentences, about praising God? So God, the people asking a question, God will reveal, will answer. And that's why I say that the most important part here for us, for those who are is faithful to God, is God is always willing to reveal. Is there any question that we can ask God that He does not give us an answer? There's none. That's right. And therefore, in a practical way, in a practical sense, we need to understand that if we keep on praying and asking, God will reveal. That's His characteristic. And that's why He has revealed His word to human beings in human languages. And because of our needs, He will also answer us. He may answer us from a text from the Bible. He may answer us from a sentence or a passage or a letter that we have in the writings of Ellen White. He can answer us through a sermon. He can answer us from a contact that somebody has with you to give you an answer. But God has always an answer for us. And that's what I see as very important in Daniel chapter 2. Now, in the sixth question is coming from the king again. So, can you see what is happening here? It's between king, Daniel, okay? Asking question and having an answer. God is willing to give an answer. What is the question that the king will ask in chapter 2, verse 26? We have read that. The king asked Daniel. That's the question. The king asked, as soon as we say ask, that's maybe a question, correct? Ask Daniel, who was also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what a dream dreamt and what it means? That's a question. And the question is, can you? And what is the answer that Daniel will give? Yes, king, I got the answer for you. What is he doing? Yes, he is only a vehicle. And who is the one to have glory? Because he has praised God after the answer that he had during the whole night of prayer, now he is giving God the glory. Practical way. What do we do when we have asked a question and we have God has revealed to us? That's what we say. But what we do, that's another thing. That's what we have to do, correct? But usually what do we do? I've got that. I knew about that. Oh, this is from me. Friends, who are we? Nothing.
Remember, nothing. The magicians themselves said nobody can answer.
Yes.
The dream, interpreted the dream, except God.
But he is saying, who is the one who can reveal the dream? Even before telling the king what he dreamt all about, he is giving glory to God. And therefore, in our practical application today, let's give glory to God. And the more we give glory to God, the more He will reveal to us. And the more He will put us in a situation where we need to share with others. If they want to listen. But sometimes, even they don't listen, you know what happened? We are saying that we are sowing a seed. And don't stop because somebody has refused. Let me tell you a little story. A real one. I'm running with my colleague, Pastor Kojo. We are running a public evangelism in Pakana, my church. And we have distributed 2,000 handbills. And we have said to the members who went on a Sabbath afternoon, said that, well, what we had to do is to knock at the door. Don't just put that in the mailbox. To knock at the door and talk to the people and be open and frank. It is done by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If they kick you out, you are out. But at least you have presented that. And if you don't see a person at home, what will you do? Then you put that in the letterbox. The first Saturday night, the 2nd of February, we are going to start. We had members of the church present, and I saw a man coming, and he asked me the question, is this the place where we are having some meetings? Yes. And he came in, and then after the meeting, we had a little chat. And I just said to him, but how did you know that? He showed me the leaflet that he received in the letterbox. So, no one has talked to him. But who talked to him? Praise the Lord. But can you imagine if we said, oh, those people, they would not be interested. And let me tell you, this man is following every time we have meetings. He is there present. And last Wednesday, he said to me, you know, I don't think that I will be able to come because my mom comes from Queensland, is visiting me, and therefore I don't think that I will be able to come. And I say, well, bring mom. Okay. Oh, you know, he laughed. He said, oh, Mom, I don't think so. And then, on Wednesday, here he is. And I said, what about Mom? He said, you know what? I wanted to come. But I could see that Mom would have been a handicap for me. So I asked Mom to go to my sister's place. Who is doing that work, friends? Who is melting that heart? And I'm going to talk about this man, the last point about this man. When he came, I tell you, I said to myself, wow, is he really interested? He has long hairs, not well combed, dirty, okay? Last Wednesday when I gave that presentation, I didn't recognize this man. He was clean, and he came, took his Bible, because after 10 presentations, he's going to get his Bible, and he had a piece of paper, and he was writing notes. Friends, if it is only for this man that we had to run a public evangelism, we have spent so many money about this evangelism, if there is only for him, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. So therefore, that's what Daniel is explaining to us. Give glory to God, because it is not him. And if he had said, King, I know all what you have dreamt about, the king would have been pleased, correct? And I don't think that God would have withheld that from him, from Daniel. But glory to God. It's God who reveals to you the king. The emphasis is on God. And then you know this vision. You know about that. I don't have to read that. And then after that he explains. Now we have the king again. And I would like to invite you to read verse 3. We are almost at the end. But I bring back to verse 3. Then the king said to them, I had a dream that bothers me, and I want to know what it means. There was a question asked to the astrologers at the beginning. Agree? But at the end, this question is still there, but he is not bothered too much about an answer coming from the astrologers. But what is the result of that question at this point in time, after the whole situation has been developed? What is the answer or the result? The king will worship God. And then, with those astrologers, what happened? They have their lives saved. And don't you think that Daniel could have said, well, those astrologers, wow, they are enemies, they are Babylonians. And yes, we have to get rid of them because they are the enemies of God. But Daniel never had this thought. And that's why in the dialogue with Arjok, the commander-in-chief, he said, don't put this execution right now. And they had their lives saved. But do we hear from them after that? We don't hear about the execution, but do we hear about them again? It's finished. And who do we see? Who do we hear about after that event? Daniel. And the companions. So when we study the Bible, we have a lot of interaction with people. But we have information that carries on through faithful people to God. Those who are not faithful, they disappear. Do you want to maintain that level of faithfulness to God? And when will that decision be made? To be in the kingdom or not to be in the kingdom? When? When Christ will come. With this little stone coming from out of nowhere, who destroys the whole thing and fills the earth. Look at what Nebuchadnezzar will do. He will recognize Daniel, and he will establish Daniel, who was, let's say, in prison, okay, for discussion's sake. Elevated Daniel and the companions as being the governor, the leaders of the country. The trust. The trust. Okay? But the unfortunate thing is in chapter 3 that we are not going to study, but you know about that. Nebuchadnezzar forgets about the dream and the impact that had on him, because he refused to accept that there will be another kingdom on him. He refused because he wants to control himself. That's why he will make a statue, all gold, all him. That's the human beings. That's this world who takes glory and who wants to make sure that people acknowledge you. But not with Daniel. Because when the gifts were given to Daniel, he said, okay, share that with my companions. So we are going to share with each other. And we are here to support each other. And that's why this sermon is not for you only. It's also for me. This has blessed me in studying Daniel 2. And I do hope that this has blessed you. Amen. Loving Father, we are so grateful to understand through this chapter 2 of Daniel how the people were longing for an answer, and how in your time you reveal it not to them but to a pagan king, and through your faithful servant Daniel, whom you have elevated into the kingdom, who have been faithful to you and who have talked to you, who have asked you, requested from you the revelation, and you have released that revelation because you wanted to explain to the king that those people on whom he was relying, he can't rely on them anymore, but he can rely on one of your faithful servants. Lord, we thank you for Daniel 2. We thank you for the revelation that we have. And we thank you for the understanding of the meaning of those different metals. But Lord, help us to understand the most focused point, the most important point in Daniel 2 is that you reveal. There is nothing hard for you not to reveal, Lord. We thank you also for calling us in the task that you want us to do, and so that we elevate your name and your name alone. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we ask. Amen.